Before we get started, I just want to start off with a little prayer. Emma is currently sick. She has a virus, and she called and asked that we would pray for her, so that's why she's not here today. Bob's brother, unfortunately, took a fall and broke his leg, and he's now recovering in BG Manor. So prayers for him as well. And then we have a number of people traveling today because it is Mother's Day, and so let's just take a moment to pray for everybody to have a safe journey. Dear Lord, we love you very much, and we come before you asking for prayers of healing. Lord, you know what is going on in each of these situations, and we ask that you would lay your touch of healing upon each of these people that need it. And Lord, we also pray that the members of our church family that are traveling today would receive your mercies, and that they would return to us safely. And in your name we pray this. Amen. Okay. So today is Mother's Day, but I don't actually have a Mother's Day sermon today, okay? We had one last week, and it's a great thing to celebrate Mother's Day. Obviously, it's not anything that's in the Bible, but mothers are very well appreciated in the Bible, and we went through that last week in the sermon about various mothers and grandmothers and so on and so forth. So I will try to keep it short today so that we can get out of here in a reasonable amount of time and, do whatever that you were planning on doing. And if you weren't planning on doing, now I have set you up and you have to go do something. So we are told throughout the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that we should tell others about God. We should speak about his goodness, his righteousness, his love, his compassion, his grace, and of course, salvation through Jesus. Specifically, we're told in Colossians 4, let your speech always be gracious when speaking about the Lord. And in 1 Peter 3, we're told, be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. We are also told in Mark 16, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. This is also mentioned in Matthew as well. And in Psalm 96, we're told, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. So you see the message that Jesus gave to us when he left us. To go and talk to all the people was actually a message from the Old Testament. But what is the gospel? Can you tell me? Can you tell someone else? The word gospel is defined as the teaching of the salvation of Christ. But what is it exactly? Now, this could be a sermon about how you call yourself a Christian, but you don't actually know how to define the gospel. But it's not. This could be a sermon about how we don't support missionaries with prayers or with finances the way we should so that they can go out and spread the gospel. This could be a sermon about all the ways that you're not doing what God's holy word is commanding you to do, but that's not the sermon today. Truthfully, I think that just about everybody here does speak with gentleness and respect. I don't hear any reports of any of you speaking a message of hatred or anger or venom. And I'm not aware of any of you standing on, say, the campus of BGSU and telling all those heathen college kids that they're going to burn in hell, right? And I know for a fact that this congregation and this church, we do support missionaries, both with prayers and with finances. And that I would guess most of you, if not all of you, could actually speak about what the salvation through Christ is. Today's sermon is actually about doing good works, or good deeds, we sometimes say. But before we get into that, let's make sure that we're all clear about what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Jesus is God born to the Virgin, who lived the perfect sinless life and was killed, was crucified, to pay the sin debt to God for our sins. He was raised up from the dead and ascended to heaven. He offers this salvation, this freedom from the death of sin, if you will believe, if you will turn away from sin, and if you will declare Jesus is Lord. Pretty simple stuff. Now, I want to be clear. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot good deed your way into heaven. Okay, so let's just be very clear about that. Salvation is a gift from God, and Jesus is the only way to the Father. So why is it important to tell others? Let's for a moment go beyond the fact that God's word commands us to tell others. Think about it this way. Imagine if you found the cure for cancer, and you cured yourself, but then you just decided to keep it a secret. What kind of person would you be to have something that wonderful, something that life-changing, and not share it? Why do we think of salvation any other way? Now, I think most of us realize that one of the most easy and effective ways to tell someone else about the gospel is to speak about your own testimony. So what is your testimony? How has your salvation changed your life? Now, before I was saved, before I received the salvation through Christ, I actually thought I was a true Christian. I remember when Sharon Stutz came to my house. I had not been in this church very long. And we had a newsletter at the time, and she interviewed me for the newsletter. And she asked when I was saved and when I had declared Jesus as Lord. And I dodged the question, probably because I didn't even realize I was dodging the question. So I instead answered her question by telling her how many years I'd been in church and the various churches that I attended over the years. I thought I was a Christian, but I had not fully received that salvation of Christ. I had not fully put my trust in the Lord. And since because I didn't have that salvation, I couldn't actually answer that question. So think about it. If you can't talk to someone about your life before you put your trust and faith in Jesus versus your life afterwards, come talk to one of us after the service. I'll help point you in the direction you need to go, and God will take over from there. Now, just for a moment, I don't need anybody to stand up and give their full testimony, but who wants to share when they received their salvation? Were you a young person? Were you in the middle of your life? Was it towards, you know, was it just recent? Anybody want to pop a hand up and share when they received their salvation? I'll go first. April 25th, 2014. I'll never forget that day. So I just celebrated my rebirthday a couple weeks ago. Now, some people can remember the exact time and place. Some people know it more of a general time period when they put their trust and faith in Jesus. Does anybody want to share when? Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all for sharing. I'm sure there's more of you, but I just wanted to make it clear that if you can't accurately tell the before and the after, you might not have a before and the after. I was in that position for many years where I thought I was a Christian, but I didn't have a before and after. I had a right now. The world defined me as a good person. The world probably defined me as a good Christian, but I was a Christian about 90% of the way there. And unless you're that 100%, unless you go all that full distance, you're missing out on the best part. So, like I said, if you can't define that, please come talk to one of us afterwards. We'll help you. And don't be afraid to ask for help. Now, for those of us that have already declared that Jesus is our Lord, what are you doing with your born-again life? Do you have a fiery passion for Jesus, or are you kind of meh? Are you kind of lukewarm? What do you do with your passion? Or what are you doing with your lukewarm passion? Now, you might be saying, wait a minute. We're back to speaking to others about God. I thought this was a sermon about doing good works. It is, I promise. But doing good works in the world is a pointless effort. No matter how much good you do, the sin and the corruption in the world will oppose your actions. The only way to fight and the only way to bring God's kingdom here on earth is to spread the gospel, to get people to receive their salvation through Jesus. Only then, after that happens, do your good works have the power of God behind them. Only then can you make a change that can withstand the corruption of sin. So you see, it is pointless to talk about good works and good deeds unless we first talk about Jesus. Trying to separate the two is pointless as well. So with that being said, it's important to remember that a lot of people mistakenly associate salvation with acting like a Christian or doing good works. I can think of one very large denomination that are slightly misguided, but they do a lot of great things in the community. They have a lot of fundraisers, they support a lot of charities. But they oftentimes mistake what true salvation is. And I'll let them remain nameless for the time being. Salvation comes first, and it is the most important. But shouldn't you work to tell others? Shouldn't you act in such a way as to bring glory to God? Matthew 5 says, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And in 2 Timothy 2, we're told, "Present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the truth." And also in James 2, it says, "Someone will say to you, 'You have faith and I have works.' But James says, 'Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.'" Doing good works is not wrong, and in fact, God encourages it. Jesus warns us to make sure that we are doing good works, but we're doing them for God, to give God the glory, not for our own glory. Your ultimate goal in doing good works is to direct the attention back to Jesus. Sometimes the good deed will lead to an opportunity to speak about the gospel or to share your testimony, which should include the gospel. Not a single one of us can give a person salvation. All we can do is lead them to Jesus. And at that point, the Holy Spirit will take over. Now, you might have noticed that we're currently without a pastor. It's been a couple of months. God called our previous pastor away to serve somewhere else, and I am 100% confident, that he's calling a new pastor to us. But a pastor is simply a servant of God. A pastor is no different than you or I, except that they took some extra schooling to learn about the Bible on a deeper level. It was never a pastor's job to proclaim the gospel. It was our job. The pastor is simply one of us when it's defined as our job. So I'm going to challenge you today, and I'm literally going to challenge you to a competition. A competition to do good works for the glory of God. A competition that should provide you with opportunities to speak about Jesus and salvation and your own testimony. We're not called to sit on the sidelines and let the world get darker. We are called to be the light of Christ. We are called to let the light of Christ shine through us and illuminate the darkness. And so, I have homework for you. I have a bit of a competition. And I'm going to call my boys up here so they can help me pass these out. Yep, come on up. I have for you the Plain Church Good Works List. This is going to be a fun way, and it will be fun. This is going to be a fun way for all of us to make an impact on our community by doing good in the name of Jesus. So what I want is I want you to take this paper home, and it's going to be a six-week competition. So over the next 6 weeks, begin to complete the items on this list. When you finish an item, just write a date next to it, the date that you completed the item. And obviously, this will be honor system. So, no cheating. We're in church. So, at the end of June, we're going to turn these in and find out who earned the most points. No, I don't need your name on it. If you want to put your name on it, maybe we'll even have a prize. I have no problem with that. That's fine. But the real prize is going to be, oh, thank you. The real prize is going to be that someone else might get to hear about Jesus. And they might get that eternal salvation that they wouldn't have got otherwise. Thank you. The real prize is going to be giving glory to God. So if anyone gets to tell you that being a Christian is boring and it's full of the thou shalt nots, I challenge you to look at this list and tell me that. This is going to be fun, and we get to serve the Lord here. So some of these, you might think, well, how is this going to serve God? Item number one on that list is pick up litter. Well, how does that serve God? How does that give glory to God? Well, while you're walking around picking up somebody else's litter, somebody else might see that. They might say, thank you. And you say, it's my pleasure. By the way, I'm doing this for the glory of God. And they might look at you very strangely and say, what are you talking about? And then you've just started a conversation with Jesus at the front of that conversation. Look through this list. This is just something I came up with. So there are plenty more things that could be done. This is not an all-encompassing list, obviously. Some of these are just being nice to other people. And you'd be surprised how far that goes in this world. You'd be surprised how many people go through their day or their week and not a single person is nice to them. We kind of get spoiled because we're a faith family. We're nice to each other a lot. We hear the compliments. We hear people praying for us. We have people being charitable to each other. The rest of the world is not necessarily like that. You'd be surprised how some of these little things on here might go a very long way with somebody. And sometimes that might just plant a seed. And that seed might take a couple of weeks or a month to grow. That person might come back to you a couple of weeks later and go, remember when you did that nice thing for me? Why did you do that? You were the only one that did the nice thing for me in the last 2 weeks. And then you now have an opportunity to share how you were changed before and after your salvation. You have an opportunity to start a conversation. You don't have to be a professional pastor. You don't have to be a professional missionary. You don't have to have a microphone on a street corner with a soapbox standing up shouting. It's a real simple thing. But sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we let the fear take over. Sometimes we don't know how to talk to others. Sometimes it starts with an action, not a word. Sometimes the words will follow. So take a look at this list, and so I do challenge you. We have a couple more weeks here in May, and then we have the month of July. The month of June. So on the last Sunday of June, I challenge you, bring this list back. Let's see how many you get. And I tell you what, even if you've only checked off one of those, you've done more than you did right now. Even if you only had one conversation with one person, that's more than you did right now. So challenge yourself. Not one of these is going to bring glory to you. Every single one of these is going to bring glory to God. That is all I had today. Like I said, a short message to the point. How do we separate Jesus and good deeds? It's pointless to do so. Tie them together, wrap them up in a bow, and share it. Bring your light to the world, because it's not your light, it's the light of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,